Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome back, dreamers, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian faces a room of Laffians, Raoul loses his dream, Squash learns his limits, as Zoltana awakes to find her warlock and paladin. With all but one of the team getting their true names, Zoltana awakes to learn that Inverna has potentially discovered a base of the Blissful Eclipse. Now that Raoul's nightmare has been eaten by Dendar and unrecoverable, Grunts recommends relying on Aemir to know Raoul's true name when called upon. Are the heroes ready for their first task? Will Aemir know Raoul's true name? And why would Daechin have visited with the Baranya when Squash was young? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
It's about 4 or 5 in the morning. You've had a long rest because of the dreams that you've all experienced recently. And the four of you find yourselves in the foyer of the temple beneath Thalstom. It's mostly just the four of you. Aemir is skittering around somewhere. Kythir is probably still asleep. Demi/Grumps just disappeared off into wherever the hell they went. Damaz and Nimverna have taken upon their path of vengeance. What do you four want to do?
I think Squash kind of wants to go chat with Trampel a little bit. But if the group has like a destination or an idea that they want to do right now, Squash is of course going to sit on that a little bit.
I think this is the last break before we have to fuck off.
So if you need to use the bathroom before the trip, use it now.
Make sure that you go to the bathroom before we go over to Kino. Once we're there, we don't know if they have bathrooms and we can't read the signs.
I could ask.
Actually, that's not true. I can. You, don't worry about it.
We can't read the signs. That's a good one. All right. Then I guess we're like munching on some food or drinking some water or whatever. And Squash just kind of gets up and like, I have a couple of things I need to run by Trampel about magic. So I'll be back in like, it takes like an hour to get to the surface. 3 hours, I guess? Maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes, depending on how annoyed Trampel is this early in the morning.
Maybe you want to go sprinting then? Go brisk walk?
Brisk walk. All right.
Power walk. That's the word.
I'll try to be quick. I'll meet you guys back here, right?
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Squash.
Squash, you might want to make sure that somebody knows your true name before we depart, just in case, you know, all that. I don't know if you imparted that to anybody or not, but...
My true name is Don Connolly. It is the name my parents gave me. I think I'm earning it as we go. Please just call me Squash now. I don't believe I've earned it yet, but I'm working on it.
Understandable. I respect that, as someone who's gone by a different name for a long time as well. I suggest you tell someone besides us who will be able to pull your ass out of the whatever the fuck it is we're going to do, though.
We have no idea who's going to be there. I'm assuming we're going to tell people at the moment. Sorry, I thought you were just prying.
No, I was not trying to pry. That's why I'm surprised that you told us. I didn't want to ask specifically. I just wanted to make sure that we all have our backup plans in place ahead of time, because that's just the kind of person I am.
Are they not teleporting people back and forth anymore like they used to?
What?
You know,
I mean, there are some spellcasters here that might just be able to send you up to the surface. You'd have to ask them, though.
To or from here, you know.
Oh.
Like they used to.
I could probably ask around. I'm assuming it's a strenuous thing to do. I don't think they're just going to do it on a whim. Most of them.
I mean, we're kind of important.
They have so far just done it on whims, I think.
He's not wrong.
Does Squash know of any wizards down here that might be able to teleport him to the surface?
You would have seen a fuck ton of people with magic. A fuck ton of them are down here. So in the barracks themselves where y'all have been staying, a lot of the sick dragonborn are here. Basically, some people from Savras's army are still here. Most of them have transferred to the surface or gone to some of the kind of outposts that are being built around Falsum, so everybody doesn't eat the same bloody food sources. Mm. There are people around. You could definitely just like meander into the barracks, see someone with magic and like, yo.
Okay. I guess Squash is probably going to spend like 10 minutes finding somebody who's intended to go to the school in the next 20 minutes and like hits a ride.
Yeah, 5 in the morning, sure.
Somebody's got to do like an all-nighter, surely.
Someone coming back from the library, they're super tired. Yeah, you can absolutely, like meandering into the barracks, like you can very easily see that some people are stirring and waking up. You see a lot of folks, some that you recognize, some that you don't. You recognize that Kythea and Demi are kind of sitting together with a half elf. Nope, with an elven man who seems to be chatting very friendly with them. You can see that there are people near where Caden is sleeping and they seem to be stirring and getting ready. They also seem to have magics on them. Like, there are a bunch of people.
If there's any short races, dwarf or halfling, I think Squash goes for those.
Fair enough. Actually, very easy. You come across a dwarf that you wouldn't recognize, but we would recognize as Menmark N, who is a dwarven ambassador, and she very happily teleports you up to the surface. No problem whatsoever.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she disappears.
You don't remember their voice, do you?
She looks super tired. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
All right. Yeah, Squash is going to try to figure out if Trampel is awake, and if not, Squash is going to go wake him up.
Just knock down the fucking door, drop a fireball. What's up, bitches? I got magic!
You said
boom, I have magic now! You said you teach me magic, right? Boom, magic, motherfucker. No. He's not awake. It is 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But through a series of deductions and walking around and, you know, finding a name that says Trempel's room, sort of his is not exactly next to like the head of the Witches Society in Falsum, not next to that room, but on that sort of same floor. You come across Trempel's room and he and his companion are waking up, I guess.
All right. If I hear some stirring on the other side of the door, then Squash is going to allow himself to just gently knock.
He opens the door. He looks really tired. Like, what?
Hey, I don't have a lot of time. We're going to Kino.
I guess you better come in. He kind of like awkwardly opens the door and steps back. Like, he's barely dressed. Like, he barely has a shirt on. He's not got a tie or anything yet. Yeah, his room is a complete mess. The tabaxi friend that you've seen around him fairly often recently is also just kind of like getting up and gives you a wave as he gets dressed.
Hey. Hey, Trampo. Sorry, I definitely should have done this yesterday before we did the whole dream thing, but I wasn't...
What thing?
Don't worry about
Don't worry about it. We're doing a whole thing. It's got something to do with the sentinels and the guards and the all the things.
Okay.
Let's roll it back.
Take a seat.
Thank you.
I need a cup of coffee. And he kind of like goes over to one side of the room. There are like tables and chairs in here. It's very easy for you to find somewhere to sit down. And he comes back with like two cups of coffee. His tabaxi friend just like gives you a wave and then slips out of the room.
Squash like grabs the cup and like, okay, let's just roll it back to where we were. I need help dealing with the whole avatar thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. What do you, I still don't know any more than that I did before. What?
I'm getting stronger. I'm figuring magic out better. Earlier today, I actually managed to make myself smaller. And I assume that if I reverse basically just the kind of the strangeness of it, it's just going to make me bigger.
Yep.
But I can't. There is no way for me to gain the power that I would need. It's levels way beyond anything I could possibly hope to steal from the world. I need to perform what I assume is a kind of a banishment or an exorcism to...
I don't want to know the specifics. If I do, I can get in a little trouble.
I need to know how to cast a spell that I shouldn't be able to.
You see him look down at his hand, the one that he had like cut so that he could do sending. You can see it's pretty well healed now. It's kind of back to most of its functionality. And he looks down at the table and he says, I did promise to help you. Fuck. All right. And he goes off and he comes back with a couple of blank pieces of parchment. He pulls out a very small like dagger and he just cuts his thumb. And you see him draw a rune on this one of the blank pieces of parchment. It's a really intricate rune. It's very delicate. And there are lots of very subtle moves in it. And he talks you very slowly through what each of them means so you understand how to draw the power into it. And then he just draws a very simple question mark next to it. And he says, when you do that, takes about a minute. I know it's taken me like 10 minutes to explain it to you, but should only take about a minute. Basically, you just say, grant me this wish. I seek an audience with Klemdar. She'll probably bargain with you, but it does take some magic to do it. So you can't be out of spells.
Okay.
I'll be out of energy.
You think this rune is something I can cast?
Yeah. Looking at the magic on you, yeah. Just, but yeah. Squash, look, mate, you can only cast this once.
I know.
I mean, that's literally just once.
Trampo, you do know that your one time was in the service of something very great.
I'm not even bothered about that. I never even planned on using it. I never thought I would need to, so. She's nice.
That's why I want you...
Don't worry about it.
That's why I need you to understand that we didn't throw yours away.
You don't need to explain it, all right? It's done is done, and I'm fine with it.
Are you not mad at us? I can see your hand is still stiff.
Done worse. And there's one time I fell out a window casting a spell. Now that was some lasting damage, my friend. So, no, don't worry about it. I never thought I'd have to use it. Most people don't. So, I know it's done for a good thing. Don't run it.
Thank you, Trampal.
Guess you're welcome. Don't pester me again. Squash. He kind of like has half a smile on his face.
Squash like rummages around in his head. He's like, I think you should be free of me for a very long time. But if you ever need anything, just let us know. I know things suck right now. The new chain of command isn't exactly interesting from what I gather.
Oh, she's a piece of work, mate. Bloody hell, I thought it was bad enough having Demi in charge. Whew. This one's like 100% opposite.
It's chaos and order, Blimey. Isn't it?
Just order. Nothing but paperwork. Fuck me. Anyway.
Right, right.
You get on doing what you do. The less I know about it, the better, all right?
Yeah, sorry. Squash kind of gets up and I think he tries to steal the piece of paper that he wrote on. Like, not steal, but take it if he doesn't stop Squash.
Okay. He does explain to you that if you're casting it, it needs to be your blood, not his.
I understand, but I'm assuming Squash doesn't have a photographic memory, and he's seen this now once for 10 minutes.
Okay, all right, sure. I'm just going to say yes, because your sleight of hand, sneaky bullshit is going to be way above anything that Trimpal could even hope to hit.
You're misunderstanding me. I use the phrase steal very liberally in my day-to-day life. What I meant to say is, I'm assuming Squash takes the piece of paper with Trampal's permission.
Yes. Yeah, he won't have any objections to it.
Squash just kind of rolls it up and gets just opens the door and lets himself out. And just before he closes the door, he just goes, "We owe you one, or at least I do. Sorry for waking you up."
Yep. I was awake. He closes the door behind him and he basically makes his way towards like the new head of the Witches Society and very quietly like taps on the door. He has a cup of coffee in his hand. You hear her like, "Enter," and he goes in and starts working.
Yeah, boy. All right. And Squash is gonna fuck off back downstairs.
Cool. What's everyone else downstairs doing?
I think Rawl's gonna check on the Dragonborns. And that's about it. Nothing specific.
They're basically asleep. Yesterday was a fun party day and there was lots of dancing and excitement. And now they're not exactly suffering for it, but they are very tired. You can see that there are scorch marks and frost marks and like some slight acid damage just all over the place. But they seem to be coping and they're talking to each other, those that are awake. It's a happy atmosphere, even if it's a slightly pained one. They seem to be doing okay.
That's good.
Roll for hangovers.
Basically, yeah.
Roll 20 d20s, B. Wait, how many did we get? A baker's dozen?
13.
13, almost.
Dirty baker's dozen.
Yeah, 13. They seem to be doing okay, like, all things considered. They're doing okay.
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 Did they write down their things yet?
Their things? The things they want to do for their future, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them have done their homework, like good students, and some people are still just like, "What? Homework today? Shit."
Some of them have done their homework. Some of them have a hangover. I think there's clean line between those two.
When Rawl comes back, if there's any missing, like, you know, he'll get the remaining. But if there's any that are ready, he'll take them with him so that he can, like, think about them.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that want to be fighters. A couple of them want to be sailors.
Oh, big surprise.
One or two of them fighters. Want to be,
big
yeah,
surprise,
fighters and fighters. Sailors. And a couple of them want to be like herbalists or doctors or alchemists. They want to learn how to heal or how to create potions. There is a good variety, and of course there are, because younglings, a couple of them are missing, and they promise in their sleepy state that they will write them down, but maybe tomorrow when they're slightly less tired.
Do we have a drinking age? What's the drinking age here?
I refuse to comment. Appropriate to age and size, I guess.
So then question, is Talus old enough to drink?
Technically, but no. She's 8 years old.
Is she? Yeah, sorry.
So just... She's eight. Caden will not let her drink.
18.
And she's too busy playing Strifehammer 4000 or whatever the fuck it's called. So.
Strife? What did we say mallet. Was a Strifehammer?
Strife Mallet.
Strife Mallet 3000. Thank you very much.
That was
much.
A Strife 3000.
Yes, Strife Mallet 4, 5, 6, or 10,000. It just depends on the points of the value of the army on the Strife
Some
Mallet.
Some anyway, tabletop game out there somewhere, please contact us so that we can get this patented.
No!
No, please don't. I can't deal with this. okay, Laffian, is there anything that you want to do while Squash is fucking around upstairs?
I want to talk to Kaifia.
Okay. She is currently like sitting cross-legged on her bed. She's chatting with Demi and with an elven male that you've never met before. He's got long, like darkish hair. He has like really flashing blue eyes. He has that really like chiseled jaw. Like think of the dude from The Witcher. He kind of looks like the dude from, Gerald from Witcher, except that he has dark hair and blue eyes. And yeah, he's well built and he is also carrying a lute. So the three of them are just kind of chatting on the bed.
This man both intrigues and terrifies me.
Do you feel threatened?
Yes. Not in like a romantic way, just in a like, this guy could probably fucking kill me with that loot way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is he ripped?
He
Does
looks
he have
stacked.
Muscles?
He is ripped. Yeah, he is ripped.
Oh God, okay.
You can see every one of his eight abs. I don't know how many abs you have. I think it's a six pack, so I'm having eight. Like, he looks buff as shit. Like, yeah.
Laffian just approaches and, like, just kind of stands there for a moment until someone acknowledges his presence because he doesn't want to interrupt.
Kaithia spots you first. The other two kind of, they're not exactly their backs to you, but, like, they're not exactly looking your direction. And she kind of looks up at you and smiles. She says, hi, come join us. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderfully now, now that I'm a little bit more awake.
He just sits down next to her, like, right next to her, so that, like, their knees are, like, just touching and whatnot, and he...
Asserting your dominance.
No, he being affectionate.
The elf kind of looks over, and he like, offers you a hand, and says, hi, my name's Jandaril.
I'm sorry, if one were to spell that, how the fuck would one spell that?
J-A-N-D-A-R-I-L. Jandaril.
I noticed this is specifically not an apostrophe in there. I'm very confused.
Sorry, I forgot to add the apostrophe. It's between the N and the D.
Okay, there we are. All right, that makes... Whew, speaking a whole different
I
language
paused
there.
So I could add the apostrophe in, but I forgot to say the word apostrophe.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, Laffian Dafthridia.
Gives a hearty handshake back.
Oh, yes, yeah. Prince back from the dead. How wonderful. Ugh, nobody told me you were a hunk.
Thank you. It's very early for this, but thank you.
Most welcome, most welcome. I've been up for a few hours, been travelling, just got here myself. Well, I guess I shall... Well, come on, Demetria, let's fuck off and leave these two lovebirds to it, shall we? And he kind of gets up and grabs her by the shoulder and she's like, okay, yeah, sure. And the two of them just fuck off.
No, never mind, I don't need to worry. Squash needs to worry.
I don't think they're together.
Right, okay. Did you sleep all right?
Yeah, I got woken up a little while ago by some explosions and lots of talking, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to wake up. So it's okay.
Explosions? I don't...
Oh, Demi
yes, there was...
said she was showing Squash how to do Fireball, and she apologized for waking me up.
Okay. Wait, Squash knows Fireball now? Oh, no. Okay. Oh. All right. That's we're gonna have to have a conversation. Okay.
I think leave him to it on the magic. He's He's learning the same way that we all learned whatever it is we have to go through.
The concern is not that he's learning magic. The concern is that he's not learning the when and where. He's just learning the how. As someone who had to very distinctly learn the when and where part of using abilities, it's a big concern, especially when half the time the two people that are in range of the fireball are Rahl and Zoltana.
He's your friend. I can't possibly comment on him.
Well, my friends are your friends and your friends are my friends. Do you have friends back home? We've never talked about that much.
I do. Those are really... Yeah, I do. Most of the people come from the assembly. At least the friends that I really have. And I have a brother.
I remember you mentioning him.
He's not so great, though.
They're not hanging out in a desert by chance, right? None of them are hanging out in a desert in the middle of nowhere?
Lafian, I haven't been home for like 5 years other than kind of just about now going to Shilvana, which is the place I came from. No, and that's on a town. That's on a coast. It's not in the desert.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure that I didn't... Okay. Regardless. We're going to be leaving soon. I wanted to make sure that at least somebody had my real name, my true name.
Yeah, they said that you were doing that. Did it go okay? Did you get what you needed?
I did. It was a very peculiar dream, and you ended up being in it and ended up helping me find my true name.
She smiles, and you can see that she's kind of blushing a little bit. She doesn't really know why, but yeah, she's kind of blushing a little. Well, I'm glad I helped you, even if it was just a dream version of me. Do you need to talk about it? You said it's peculiar.
Well, I suppose now is as good a time as any because I don't know what's going to happen in the future, and for all I know, I'm going to kick the bucket, so...
No, don't. Please don't talk about that. I can't.
Sorry. I'm trying to keep things... Well, regardless. I had been thinking on an idea for a long time after our last discussion about... staying out of politics and things for a while and making the most of our time together. I had an idea that I thought would be something nice that you and I can do together. I had been thinking for a while, between the fact that both myself and between the fact that you and myself both have psionic abilities to one extent or another, and you've got your alchemy, and we both have a lot of knowledge on many subjects, I thought it would be something that we could do where we could start a school together for many different subjects and try to teach psionics and see if we can pass that along to others. It expands the worlds and add to it with our own understanding of things. And to that extent, when we went up north, I found a place where we could do that. There was I can't even call it a port city anymore. It's kind of very far inland now, but the place called Kofor and Bayard. And there was a school, like a whole big school there, and it was kind of in disrepair, but I thought it would be the perfect place for us to be able to go and settle down and be able to have this whole big school where we can teach people and spend our time together and turn this rundown city into...
She reaches out and puts her hands like over both of yours. And she just kind of looks you squarely in the eyes and she has like this big smile on her face. And she says, yes, I would love to. I have
so much to teach, and there are abilities that I have that I don't understand yet. And I don't know if I ever will. But I'd love to see if we could pass what we know on to other people. And I just want to say thank you. I know it's not easy for you to want to give up being a politician for me, but I really don't want to do that. And thank you for this.
He just leans over and gives her a kiss.
She obviously kisses you back.
To cut things short on that, the dream I had was of myself being at this city, and it was large and extravagant, and there were new buildings and wings of all sorts of institutions building up everywhere, and I was old, and I had to go teach a class. But then it turns out the class was really me teaching myself what my true name was, but I was struggling until you appeared, which was peculiar considering I was very old.
Well, I am very wise.
Your wisdom transcends your age.
Flatterer.
I try. He looks around to make sure nobody else is like listening in.
Take a perception check.
Oh, fuck. This is not something he wants other people hearing. 12, never mind.
So far as you know, nobody is close enough to be listening, or they're too busy or whatever.
Okay. What am I doing? I have fucking telepathy. I'm not awake yet. Fucking cut that shit out. Neil, just cut that whole fucking part out. Literally irrelevant when I can talk into people's
and
fucking minds.
Never did.
I'm out of it right now. Telepathically. All right, let me.
It's
center.
Not a real name if you don't use your mouth meat flaps to make the sound.
I use my brain meat flaps to make the sound.
It's not Gross, the same. It needs to be wet.
Stop saying meat flaps.
Are you saying your brain is not wet?
No, it's dry as fuck and smooth. Smooth.
Smooth brain.
This is the worst conversation we've ever had on this podcast.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
Thank
I'm
you,
sorry.
Casey. I agree.
My brain is dying right now.
I haven't had enough coffee to handle whatever the fuck is happening right now, and I've been up a lot longer than Arch has.
Neil, don't edit that part out. Leave that in.
Mm-hmm.
No. Please, no.
No, please don't.
All right.
Please, God, no.
Telepathically to Kathy, he says, my true name is Lafin Lassadar. It's a bit of a crude translation, but essentially in Elvish, it means Moon Lord the Unifier. That's the...
It suits you.
That's the proper translation.
She's responding telepathically. She's not, right. Like, saying this out loud.
The raw translation would be Moon Lord the Worldbinder, but that's kind of not... That sounds a little more aggressive.
You'll make it what it needs to be. I mean, it is your name, and you're not aggressive, are you?
Not unless you're a bad person.
Well, I'll try not to be. And she kind of has like a smile on her face.
Not going to make it lewd. Not going to make it lewd. Not going to make it lewd. Stop it. Stop it. I would appreciate if you don't mention the Moon Lord part to anybody.
I'm not.
It's, yeah.
My lips are sealed. It doesn't go any further than me. I promise.
My parents were dreamers when they named me that. Something about being able to rule the world and then the moon or something. I don't.
So I guess that's what I need to do to get you unstuck if you get stuck, huh?
If I get stuck, you have to do something with magic or something with that name. I don't know. I don't even know what would happen if you said the full name out loud. I don't know if I would vanish from existence or... I don't understand how most of this true name stuff works.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Appears next to Roll.
Name, true name, three times they appear next to you.
I don't know. From the little that I've read up since we spoke about it, it's kind of random. It can do different things, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it always requires some sort of magic.
I'm going to hope that it works for what we need if we need it. I'd rather we didn't need it, but...
Well, then I guess I'll just have to survive absolute minimum until I can... until I'm needed.
Minimum, you're going to survive for a damn long time so that we can open that fucking school. Do you know how hard it is to find good real estate these days?
Two continents exactly the same.
You can't even teleport there. You can't even teleport. It's a whole thing to get there.
Maybe we should figure out how to make that more accessible to people.
No. See, because the idea I had was, if you're really worthy of the teachings, you have to get there yourself. Fuck, it's kind of like a rite of passage.
Yeah, but I think maybe we should have ways of getting people there, because not everybody is going to be gifted the same way that you are. I can't teleport there.
Oh, I can't teleport either. I slammed into a wall. We almost fell in. It hurt.
Okay, so tell me everything that I've missed.
Okay.
Insert all the episodes, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Insert
fantastic.
Everything.
We'll leave you two talking for a while then. Okay, brilliant. No. Okay, Zoltana, is there anything that you would like to do?
Listen, I was very hyped. I was like, ooh, this is going to be a moment where he's like, well, I may not come back, so I better lock this down just in case.
No, that's fucked up.
I'm putting a ring on this right the fuck now. No.
No, that's like romantic. That's like the dedication of true love being like, I might not come back from this, so I want, I, you
it's
know.
What the first half of Armageddon was.
It's what like...
If the rest of my life is going to be 3 hours, I want to spend it with you. And then immediately goes off to the other planes of existence.
Yeah. So?
But to be fair, when you get to a certain point in series, someone has to say, will you marry me? Even if you get slapped in the face for it.
I'll get there. Just not now.
I think he needs to do it now so she doesn't have to worry about him getting seduced by some badass demon pussy.
That's not going to fucking...
I want to know. Maybe he should ask us in case she gets seduced by a really buff-looking elf.
Anyways.
I just really hate all the things that are coming out of Aether's mouth today. I'm not here for any of the things that the phrases he's saying. I'm very against everything that's been happening.
I'm sorry.
This day.
I'm not actually sorry, but you know what I mean.
I can't believe you've made me have to listen to brain meat slaps and badass demon pussy with my own two ears. This is what makes me quit the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I would never quit the podcast.
Thank you for showing up early for our recording session, Casey.
Fucking hell.
Okay. Zoltana, is there anything that you want to do while everyone is off doing whatever the fuck it is that they're doing? Nymverna and Damez, who were kind of chatting with you previously, have gone off in their kind of pursuit of vengeance / finding more information about the Blissful Eclipse cult. Is there anything in particular that you want to do?
No.
Okay, then what are you going to do?
Chill. I really don't know what Zoltana's doing. I get, like, she had a dream. She went off. She talked. She got a herald. Now she's just chilling. Reading a book, maybe. I don't know. She's like, she went to like the library and took out a book about like the history of war on the continent or something like that. And she's like reading up on military strategy.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Okay. Who would have books on military shit down here? Let's say that Damaz left some of his shit behind, and there would definitely be like books and shit on military strategy for sure. Like he probably would have left a bag with Demi, and she probably would just thrown it somewhere on the floor. So it's very easy to come across those kind of books. If you read that again, I will give you something for it, for sure. Just remember that you have it or write it down somewhere. I love it.
Okay, I will write down on my character sheet, which I definitely have opened and haven't forgotten to do at all. But I have a book on military strategy.
Sultana, as you are in the foyer, kind of like reading this book that you managed to find, you notice that this really buff looking elf with a lute on his back is kind of like making his way over towards you.
Hi.
Sultana, right? And he kind of like sits down like awkwardly close next to you.
I'm going to like scooch away and be like, that's what they call me.
Right. You're friends with Squash, and I'm sorry, I haven't introduced myself. I'm Jandariel.
Okay. Yeah. So I just want to let you know, it's really weird to come up to somebody, sit like right up in their personal bubble and tell them, you know, who all their friends are. If you weren't talking to me and you're talking to someone like maybe a little less mentally stable, you might get murdered for that. So, you know, like just maybe introduce yourself before you go into like a detailed personal history about the person that you don't
know.
Can we,
do you mind if we like restart this? I'm awfully sorry. I've not been around a lot of people for a couple of weeks and I am very socially deprived. I'm awfully sorry. Do you mind if we start again? Can I back up and would you mind?
Yeah, sure. Just like also kind of like back up a little bit in the chair. just a little bit. This is my, she like reaches out her arm and she's like, this is my bubble. And I don't know you. So you can't be in this bubble or you'll get punched in the face. That's just me.
He gets up. He walks away. He turns around and walks back and he stands at the very edge of your bubble that you've indicated with your arm.
Good.
And he's like, hi, I'm Jandariel.
Hi. Nice to meet you. What do you want?
You're Sultana, right?
Yes, I am Sultana.
Great. Wonderful. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm a friend of Emil and the Birkin Sorens and Demetria. I just want to say hello. See how you're doing. I understand that you're about to go do some big ass task.
Yes. Some kind of big ass task indeed.
I was just wondering if there's anything I can do. So, and he kind of like sits down cross-legged in front of you, not like again at the edge of your bubble. Sits down cross-legged, he puts like the lute on his lap and he's like, well, you see, I'm a bard. I work with the others on the thing that we're doing. And our goal right now is to help the four of you do the things that you need to do. So I was wondering if there is perhaps anything I can do to help you at all. I can help train with you before you go do whatever task you're doing. I can perhaps soothe your soul with some music and give you some inspiration. I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do to help.
I'm kind
of a bit of a loose end. I've done my task now. Well, one of my many tasks.
I do like music. Yeah, like I could use some soul soothing. I feel like, you know, who could probably use some soul soothing is like all of us. Why don't you like, you could like put on a concert for us if you want.
Yes. How about I compose something like right now? And I'll sit here and wait. And then when everyone else turns up, I'll play a little bit of music for them. And then Demetria can take you far away to wherever it is that you need to go either. And he very quietly says and mouths like the words Kino and Beligbud and Cicero.
Sure.
Whichever one of it is you're going to.
Can I make a request? In the song, can you make me sound like the most heroic of everybody?
Oh, darling, you are the most heroic of everyone. Look at you. Look at those sick gains.
Damn right.
Just indicates all of you.
She starts flexing her like biceps. And she's like, damn right.
he's like, well, of course. what is your routine? And he just kind of like looks at you and like looks at his arms. He's again well built, so he clearly doesn't need routine hints. He's just asking.
Sure. So the first thing you got to do is you got to lift a lot of stuff and then put that stuff back down, right? But you want to work up to lifting like bigger and bigger things. So like when I was on the road with my friends, before these friends, when I was part of the Irregulars, Elise is like about the same size as me. So I ended up like eventually like picking up Elise and putting her down as like, you know, my, my routine mm-hmm. for my arms. And, now I just, you know, kind of like punch my pack. I like kind of like suspend it and punch it. As a good mm-hmm. way to like keep my exercise up. Also, like swinging around a giant sword like I have kind of keeps your arm muscles really good. With legs, I do some running.
You're clearly killing it, darling. I mean, look at you. As he says that, you can see that the lute strings are beginning to kind of play themselves. You can see there's magic going off. You would assume probably Mage-Hand is playing the lute as he's doing this. And it's like, you're clearly killing it. You look absolutely divine, which is funny. Well, not funny. It's obvious. You are. This is wonderful. Okay, Tears Irregulars. Yes, I think I know a bit about them. That's great. Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you for talking with me. I'm sorry about the awkward introduction. It's been a while.
No, you know, it's okay. I'm like, it was a little bit off-putting that you came up, sat like right next to me and then immediately told me who my friends were. Usually I'm not like this kind of like, I don't know, like severe.
No.
But it was very off-putting for me. But I
totally understand. It is absolutely my bad. I am very sorry, and my own solitude and strangeness of the last few weeks is no real excuse. Please accept my apology. You have no requirements to do so, though.
No, I accept it, and I forgive you.
He smiles, and the tune becomes a little happier. When he's playing on the lute, becomes that little bit better. All right, cool. I'm going to say probably at this point, Scorch, you could probably very easily find another mage that could send you back downstairs who understands the situation. Everybody here basically does. And you can get teleported back down pretty quickly. Everyone is beginning to wake up properly now. There's a lot of talk and a lot of chatter going on. There doesn't seem to be any extra food. There's no breakfast laid out. So it would have been whatever rations that y'all had is basically what you would have to have eaten. So if you have ration packs written down, please write at least one of those off for the morning if you intend on eating. And the four of you can meet back up. Raoul, most of the baker's dozen have given you something except one who is just stubbornly holding out and just like, I will give it to you tomorrow, man. Like, I'll do it tomorrow. I just don't want to do it right now. I'm undecided, okay? You have one of them that is very fiercely not wanting to fill something out.
Okay, that's fine. Rawls shows patience.
That's good. and all of you can meet back up. Kythea joins you. Aima joins you. When Aima joined me? Yeah, Aima's still around. Anyone who you want around you when you meet back up is entirely up to you. Go right ahead.
Are we leaving?
I guess so, then. Unless there's anything else we need to do here, then I think it best that we start... I don't want to say getting on the road. Getting on the teleport? It doesn't sound quite as right, but... Don't we need Demi? We need Demi for this.
She's flittering around in the background. Like, she's pretty close. She's chatting with, like, Emile in the book.
You say flittering, and all I could picture is just Demi hovering, like, a foot off the ground and, like, some fucking, like, big-ass fairy wings sticking out.
Not today. That's a different incarnation of wild magic. No. She's chatting with the book and Soren. The Jandariel is kind of still sitting near Zoltana and talking a lot, and you can see that they're playing the lute just laid out beside them. And it's really chill and soul-soothing as requested, and you can hear that he's beginning to work on lyrics. Things like Squall have been mentioned, Sick Gains, how this is going to work into a soul-soothing song you don't understand, but he seems to be working on it.
What?
Listen, being told that I have large muscles and my gains are sick does soothe my soul.
Did you have like a fucking flex off with this weird ass bard guy? Did I miss something?
Oh, you missed all of that. Yeah, so you actually missed, we wrestled for dominance, and I gave him the people's elbow.
Okay, you wrestled with Geralt.
And I gave him the people's elbow, and now he's my bitch.
Cool. Mind you, all not right. The art of the bards, it is beyond your comprehension.
Yeah, you just... Demi just comes across when she sees that a lot of you are kind of like ready and hanging about, and she kind of goes and like sits on the bench next to Jandaro, who's like still playing music, and she kind of looks at the four of you and is like, so are we ready to go? Do we know where we're going? We gonna pick a direction?
I think we're going to Kino? ?
Squash just nods his head.
We have to find a Njantir and find my dream that I forgot.
What dream?
Yeah, we do kind of need to do that part too. We'll do that while we're in Kino.
She puts her hand up like, sorry, what dream? What dream are you looking for?
I forgot.
Oh, his true name got stolen.
Okay.
Dendar.
Okay, that's...
Real asshole.
Okay.
Do we Dendar. Know that?
Which one's Dendar? Right, yes, Dendar. Dendar nightmare thing. Right, cool. Okay, great. So all of y'all want to be going to Kino?
Forge of Worlds?
Forge of the Worlds. Right, I'm sorry. Everything's a little scattered. Yes, somewhere in the waste, and I think I've seen a place, so I might be able to get you as close to it as possible. Yeah, I can do that. I have enough energy for that today. I can totally do that. Yeah, that's the thing. Okay. All right, then. I guess we're all just, like, super ready to go. And she kind of puts her hands out. You can see that Jandaro kind of, like, stands up as well. And you can see he's actually playing the lute this time.
Wait, is Jandaro coming with us?
I don't know. Do you want me to come with you? I mean, I'm kind of at odds right now. And you see he kind of shrugs.
No. Wait, Nope. We're good. We don't need this. Nope. Sorry, I Aethod misunderstood it as if he was going to, like, grab somebody's hand, like, oh, yes, we're doing a thing.
Okay, don't get me wrong. Having a bard with us would be useful, but we don't know what Jandarl's, like, skill set is.
Well, he's a bard.
I'm trying not to meta saying I don't know what level this motherfucker is. If he's, like, level 5, he's going to die in one hit.
It's not level 5.
Right, he's level 4.
Yeah. He's a 3.5 bard. She puts her hands out to like the four of you. She's like, right. I'm sorry. I need to give you something. Hang on. And she kind of like rushes back to the barracks, and like half a second late, she's literally just kind of running back, and she kind of like skids to a halt. And she has in her hand something that she was working on when Squash woke up. And it's a very tiny like hairband, and it has the blue gem, the blue stone that she had in it, and she hands it out to Squash.
Oh.
I kind of need the other one back. I kind of got busy making things because Kythea told me that sometimes like working with your hands means that like maybe my wild magic wouldn't do thing, and it seems to be working. And I kind of made this, but Grimsh doesn't really like wearing hairbands, so I thought maybe we could swap. If you want.
Squaz is going to receive the hairband and give Demi back his old bluestone. And
thanks.
He just grabs it and like, oh, this is pretty nice.
I kind of was working on it like, there's like resin and stuff holding everything in place, and also like if you don't have it in a pocket you can't lose it, I guess, unless people cut your hair off, in which case that's super not great, but like yeah, you should not. And she kind of like puts the stone in her pocket, right? Okay, right, we are 100% good to go. You just need to send me a message. We need to get picked up, probably not today though, because I haven't slept yet, and I haven't slept since yesterday, and I'm super tired and I don't really have the energy, so maybe not straight away if you need picking up, but like be reasonable, at least give me some hours. Kino. And she puts her hands out again.
Squash grabs one of her hands and grabs whoever's standing next to him.
To Narnia.
We're all hugs Aima and is sad, and then backs out and does the hands, joins the circle.
She Like, as you cuddle her and, you know, give her a kiss goodbye or whatever, you can feel that, like, as you step into the circle and grab someone's hand, like, you can feel her, like, reaching her arms around you and giving you a really big hug. And you feel that she kind of, like, slips something into a black pocket of yours and then just, like, steps away. Okay. You hear the bard's music, and it is all about this mighty warrior goddess with seriously sick gains, and you all get to temporarily gain an inspiration dice, the bardic one, so you can have
D10s.
Oh. Woo. D10.
That is
you can
correct.
Hold on to the D10. You can... You can hold on to the D10s until your next whatever role it's applicable for. He's not a Valor Bard, so you don't get it on everything. You just get it on the standard Bardic Inspiration stuff. So that's just hold on to it until you need it. It is about some seriously sick gains. And Kythia just kind of like gives Laffian a really big hug and says that she will see him soon.
Big kiss.
But she's going back to Kino for a little while.
Yeah, big kisses. Kisses. Lots of kisses.
And she says that she's going back to Kino for a little bit, but she will hopefully see you soon. And Demi reaches out, grabs your hands, and you feel a tug in the back of your navel. As you go transporting and hurling through the stalking, you recognize all of the specters. All of the specters that you have seen seem to be clumped together as if they are all resentfully having to be with their charges of most interest, being that some of them done fucked up.
We're all interesting.
Being that the Spectre's done fucked up and are somewhat being promoted a bit further along the line, all of them kind of like wave at you or like give various salutations. You can see that the kind of specter that's assigned to Zoltana and to Demi is also kind of like, they're looking sad and miserable. Whereas Zoltana's other specter is like, fuck yeah. just the whole way through as you teleport across the sea, as you find yourself standing in a desert. You've been in deserts before, but this is scorching hot. Even though winter is here, in this part of the world, the sand is still reflective of the heat. And it has gone from bloody cold to effing hot. And you can all begin to feel that, oh crap, we are wearing too much instantly. You look around you and you can see that the sand just stretches on and on. Off in the distance, you see this kind of tower that's been kind of built into rock, and you can see that there are people moving around it just very far from the distance. At least Squash should be able to see that anyway. You can see, if you look in completely the other direction, very far from the distance, and only Squash should be able to spot this, you can see that at the very edge on the horizon, you can see that there is what looks like a break in the ground, as if you're looking at a trench. There are very few trees around. They are very barren. They're kind of very much what you expect to see in a desert. There's tumbleweeds here and there, and there's very little sign of life, kind of like geckos and lizards and things that only really come out at night. This is where the five of you find yourselves.
Okay. You guys definitely see the tower over there, and over there, and Squash points in the general direction of the crag, and just like, over there, there's like there's a split in the desert. I can't really see if it's like just a trench or what it is exactly, but there's something over there. I think we're alone though, which is good.
All right. Well, first matter of business is we need to find where this forge is. Assumably, and I say this with all hope, assumably it shouldn't be nearby. But I don't see a big building that would be a forge.
Demi/Grumsh kind of like points off towards where the crack in the earth is, and he says,
as far as I remember, it is in the trench itself, deep within the earth.
Oh, thank you.
Squash is basically just taking off some of the warmer clothes they had on and is tying his hair up and just like, okay, we'll contact you, Demi, when we're done here. Thank you for your help, as always.
We do what we must, even if we despise it.
Raw waves.
Take a persuasion roll.
Why, V?
Because you can't just wave at everyone and make things okay.
You can't just wave at a god.
What are they going to do, V?
You can't just wave at Grimsh, the god of like survival and strength and slaughter.
Oh my god. Ral is going to like Grimsh hasn't like made a opinion about the Dragonborns because they're just kind of this new thing. And Ral waving is like, you know what? Dragonborns, they're cool. I'm into this.
They show
See
respect.
That wave? That was great.
Basically, yeah, all of Dragonborn opinion rests upon you, my friend.
Well, that's not good. It's not going to be. I don't want to make the roll. I'm scared now.
No pressure.
At least I'm not making you make a saving throw.
It was a 9. I'm going to use my bardic inspiration.
Oh, God. D10. All right, I think Aethel just choked on whatever it was he was drinking in this very visual gag and an audio drama.
You're a motherfucker, Neil. Motherfucker. Fuck me.
Plus 3, 12. Oh, no.
Let me just go bring up Grimch's sheet. Give me a second.
I'm so persuasive. Rob was not made to be persuasive.
We're going
to
die.
It'll be fine.
From a simple wave? No. No.
It's Grumpy. He already hates us.
He hates some of you.
Okay, he hates
me. He kind of like half waves back at Raoul and looks very confused about what the fuck he's doing. Like, okay, sure. You have some very bizarre friends, Demi, sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
He looks down at Zoltana and he says,
Odette sends her love.
Tell her I love it back. Please.
Good luck.
And with that, he kind of disappears.
I'm just saying, I think Grimsh likes me.
He kind of has to, otherwise it's going to be a very, very, very long immortal life that you're going to share together.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter why, but, chip off shoulder move. He likes me.
No, hey, listen, you make what friends you can.
Yeah, he likes me. I love that move.
It's either that or...
I just killed V a little bit.
Oh my.
I'm happy. This is great. All right. So you kind of have two things in front of you. You have a tower where there is clearly beings and people moving about, and also you have like the trench, which is off to the distance, off in the horizon. What do you want to do?
What is this tower? Is this like another? Is this the library again?
Nope, this is Symphona.
Hmm.
It's the very first kind of like.
That was in the desert?
Yep. Oh, it was shit. On the very edge of the desert.
Hmm.
So, yeah, like, Symphona is on the very edge of the desert. So, basically, if you look off to one side, very far off in the distance, and only because it's very tall, can everybody see the Tower of Symphona. And if you look off to, like, for example, the other side, you can, Squash at least, can see the crack in the earth, which is where the kind of trench system is in the desert of west of Tisiamu.
Gotcha. Okay. Squash, you have a better understanding of the Earth Dark than any of us, so... I guess lead the way?
Sure. Sorry, I. What does that have to do with the Earth Dark?
We have to go down into... Grumsh said it was in the... Like, under the trenches and...
Oh, I thought it was just a trench. Like, the place... We'll see when we get there. I'm not going to...
You should always
this.
Heed the words of gods. Even if they're kind of pricks.
Exactly. Exactly what Laffian said. You should always heed the words of gods, gesturing to self.
Especially if they're pricks.
No, that one's about Grumsh. That's not about me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. And I think it's a beautiful shot to see everyone kind of bickering about listening to gods as you guys walk towards the trench system.
Hello, hope you're all right there. It's Dana. I want to say thank you to Dagger for recording groups for us. I want to say thank you to Swaz the Sage and to Chris Moss. I appreciate you both very much. They're one of our newer patrons. And I just want to say, if you guys want to leave us any messages about what you think they're going to be doing in the desert and how dangerous you think that is, then please just drop us a message on any of those social media types. I love reading those. I love seeing how much you guys are enjoying it and sharing your wares and your crafts. It's wonderful. You can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook by looking for the TLD pod, I think it is, and it's exactly the same on Instagram where I post my little knitting bits of my grandkids. I love it very much. So please go ahead and interact with us on there. I also want to talk about this new show called Nyctophobia. It's this new horror podcast that I'm kind of really enjoying. Lots of little stories told together. So go ahead and listen to that, and you're about to hear the ad for that right now. Anyway, you wonderful people have a nice couple of weeks and we'll see you soon. Bye!
Nyctophobia, a new fiction podcast featuring Asian folk horrors and ghost stories. As Eastern superstitions and Western storytelling converge, new nightmares emerge.
Can you tell me what room you are in?
I'm in the basement.
Ma'am, please repeat that.
Oh my God, I'm in the basement.
Ma'am?
My flashlight. Oh, no, please don't leave me in the dark. Please.
Jeremiah?
It's... What?
It's here. Find
ma'am.
You.
One, two, no! Three.
Remember, keep the lights on.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.